Amen. 1 Samuel. The book of Samuel's got a lot of preaching in it, a lot of illustration. I love the book of Samuel. 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. 1st, 2 Kings. There's a lot of preaching in the Old Testament, a lot of practical things in the Old Testament. Last week, we didn't finish. I didn't get to the message last week. We were talking, preaching about the Ark of the Covenant. And how many of y'all know what the Ark of the Covenant is? Amen? Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was about, am I on there, brother? I don't know. All right, let me put it up a little higher. The Ark of the Covenant is about the size of this table right here. Maybe the Ark of the Covenant, maybe it was 5 cubic by 5 cubics, maybe a little bit bigger. And the priest, the cherubims were on it, and they were solid gold. Inside, the manna was in there from when the children of Israel eating manna and the Aaron's rod. And the priests were the only ones to carry it. The Levites, they were the only ones to carry it. God gave a Levitical priesthood in the Old Testament, and he gave the Levites were up front. Only priests from the Levites could be, or only people from the Levites could be priests. And the Levites, they had, everybody had a job. They had to take care of the temple, the tabernacle in the wilderness. They carried the Ark of the Covenant. And whenever the Ark of the Covenant was, there was power of God there. And whenever they made that Ark of the Covenant, God said, I'll dwell between the cherubims, between them. So when the children of Israel, when they were in the wilderness, the Ark of the Covenant was inside a place called the Holy of Holies. If you got an illustration out there on the wall, and then you got the holy place, and then you had the outer court. And the outer court was where people came and brought their sacrifice, and they would bring their sacrifice, yearly sacrifice, an animal, and they would have to sacrifice for their sin, to postpone judgment on their lives. And you know the story about Moses going up the mountain and then God giving him all the dimensions of everything and how things were supposed to be done. And only the Levites were the only ones that could carry that thing. And whenever they went into battle, they started taking that thing with them. They started taking the Ark of the Covenant, or sometimes they would leave it at home, and then they would realize, oh, we don't have God's power here. And whenever you seen the tabernacle in the wilderness, you would see a fire coming out of that thing at night. And I mean, it was like a fire all the way up to heaven, almost like a tornado shoot. It was coming down, and there was a fire. And then in the daytime, it was a cloud that went all the way up to heaven. It looked like a tornado. And that thing was wild looking. So when all the nations of Canaan, when they saw that, of Palestine, they saw that, they go, my God, what kind of God is that? I mean, we read about what he did to Egypt. I mean, he just destroyed Egypt by his power. They never fired a shot. They never got into battle. God annihilated Egypt by nature. And it's amazing. You watch the news today, they always talk about Mother Nature. No, it's God controls nature. Amen. God controls all that. And the Bible tells us, and we've been in Revelation, where God's going to unleash nature on mankind again. And over in the book of Revelation. And we've been seeing a little bit of it, you know, earthquakes and divers places. Jesus said that was going to happen. And then you see floods and fires and all that stuff. And you know, the Bible says that when God destroys the world the second time, it's going to be by fire. But man, we've been seeing devastation around the world. You see all these tidal waves coming in, land, and people say, oh, and you know what happens? We get used to seeing devastation. We go, oh, that's the, you know, that's Mother Nature. I mean, there's nothing to worry about. We don't need to get right with God and none of that stuff. So, and God uses nature to get man to think about him and think about heaven. I'll tell you this. Whenever there was a lightning storm, or I remember as a little kid, I remember being at the house and it started lightning. Man, I ran, got up under the bed. My mother would say, God's talking. That thunder. And God's talking. And you say, man, that's scary. And when they always say there's no atheist in a foxhole. And when man's going through like a tornado or something, they start crying out, God, have mercy. God, have mercy. And, you know, people claim to be atheists and all that stuff, but they change their ways when trouble comes. And here in chapter 4, we stopped last week. The Ark of the Covenant was brought into the camp of Israel because they lost 4,000 men. And verse 2, it says the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel, and that they joined battle, and Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. Israel was not used to losing. They did not like to lose. And as a matter of fact, nobody likes to lose, but they weren't used to losing men. They weren't used to losing anybody dying. Because when they went into Ai, 37 men dropped dead, and they went, something ain't right, God ain't here. And they turned around and they ran. And they ran from it. Ai was just a small town when Joshua was in control. And they ran from that. And then they finally, Joshua says, something's wrong. And Joshua's on his face, and God says, get up, man. There's sin in the camp. And so he gets up, and God says, there's sin in the camp. And they start allowing the tribes to pass before Joshua. And finally, the Bible says the tribe of Judah was chosen, and then all the way down to Achan. Achan was chosen, his family. And then he says, confess it. So they confess, he confessed it, and he ended up getting stoned. But God deals with man, and Israel was not used to losing a battle. Now, nobody likes to lose. If you like to lose, there's something wrong with you, amen? But I tell you what, losing is not that the whole world's going wrong, but when you come to ball games. But people, the children of Israel, they thought, well, we lost 4,000 men. God ain't here. We need to do something about it. So then they said, let's do this. So when the people were come together into the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh that unto us, and that we cometh among us, it may save us. They're saying this thing, this Ark of the Covenant is going to save us. This thing's coming in. And it's just like what people do today with idols. They say, man, you know, they pray their idols. And what they've done, they made the Ark of the Covenant, they made that an idol. They made an idol. The Bible tells us that thou shalt not make on thee any graven images or anything. So you go around people's houses, you see they got statues of Mary, they got statues of Buddha, they got statues of this, and people make 8 graven images. They bow down to them, they pray to them. And you want to see that, you go to China, go to Vietnam, go to all the Asian countries, you go over there, they got little places down the road where they got Buddhas in there, and they got candles burned. They put food in there for that Buddha to eat or the spirit to eat. And they'll eat that, and they think, well, somebody has to eat it, or it goes bad. So, man, you got, even right today, you've got, man, idolatry going on in this world. People worship all kinds of things. They worship images. They worship, you know, somebody hears about down in South America, they saw a mountain and that looked like Mary, and blood was running down. Everybody will go there and beat themselves and cut themselves and all kinds of crazy stuff to try to appease God and try to get some kind of blessing upon them. And people always wanting to be blessed. They always, I mean, no, if you're, you know, that's normal. You want to be blessed. But the children of Israel said, man, why did God do this to us? I mean, here 4,000 men dropped dead over this battle, and let's go get the ark. And so they bring this idol in, and they made it an idol. That's what they did. God said, I'll dwell between the cherubims. But evidently, God wasn't home. And there's a lot of churches today, God is not home there, amen. And I want the Lord to be at home here, feel at home here. And I want the Lord to be at home in our houses. But anyway, they go on there, get the Ark of the Covenant, and they lose 30,000. Go down to, the Bible says, the Philistines heard the noise when they brought the Ark of the Covenant in verse 6. When they heard the noise, they a great shout in the camp of the Hebrews, and they understood the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Lord was come into the camp. The Philistines were afraid and said, come, God has come into the camp. And they said, woe unto us. They said, man, we're done for. If God's came into the camp, we're done for. You know, the Bible talks about greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If you got God on your side, you got the majority, brother. You don't need a whole bunch of people to be on your side as long as you got God on your side. If God's on your side, you're all right. But the Philistines, they said, man, woe unto us, for there have not been such a thing before time. It says, woe unto us, verse 8, and who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? They said, mighty gods. These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. And then they said a great statement. I wish you'd underline it in your Bible. They said this, even though, you know, if the Philistines should have said, hey, if God is that great and God is who he says he is, then we're going to bow down to him and we're going to worship him rather than fighting against him. That's what we're going to do. But you know what people do? They know that if they know you're saved, they know you God answers your prayers, they know you got peace in your life, they'll come to you, but they won't get saved. They'll say, well, you pray for me. They know you can get some prayers answered, but they don't want to get saved themselves. But then sometimes folks do get saved, and they see your life, and your life will make that change in their lives, so or affect their lives. And then the Philistines made a great statement. They said, be strong. They tell each other, be strong and quit yourself like men, O ye Philistines. They go around there encouraging each other. They're saying, be strong and quit yourself like men. We're not going to be slaves to the Hebrew. We're not going to serve them. Their pride got the best of them. And what happens is they said, well, we're not going to be servants to them. We're going to make them servants to us. And they're encouraging one another to be strong. You know, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It says, be strong and men, trust in the Lord. And it tells you over in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about putting on the whole armor of God. Be strong in the Lord. And God wants strength in your life. God wants strong Christians. He don't, I mean, we've got weak Christians. We got feeble Christians. We got men, Christians that's some they're on sometimes, off sometimes. They're halfway on, halfway off. And we got man Christians that man they wanna play games. They wanna act like God is playing chess with them or something. And God, it's not like that. If God is with you, he's I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You're mine. You belong to me. But you need to fellowship with him. You need to talk to him. And the Bible says, be strong and quit yourself like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourself like men and fight. And the Philistines fought. Now, I mean, they encouraged each other and they went ahead and fought. And they figured they're going to lose. And Israel was smitten and they fled every man onto his tent, into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. Not men. The first time they go out, they lose 4,000. They bring the Ark of the Covenant in, and they think, okay, everything's going to be all right now. God, we brought the Ark of the Covenant here. They never said God is in the camp to themselves. Israel said, God, there's a God's. Capital G-O-D-S. But they didn't say, I mean, Philistine said that. But man, God is not in the camp when they thought he was. And boy, that was a sad state. That's a sad state of mind. I said, you know what? When armies go into battle, a lot of times they say, God is on our side. And most of it, armies don't subtract God out of their life. They always say, God is on our side. When we went to Iraq, we said, God is on our side. America said that. I mean, when they attacked us in 9/11, and we went to Iraq and Afghanistan, we said, God is on our side. ISIS and all the Muslims, they say God is on our side. So there is a playing of whose God is going to win, whose God is on whose side. And this is what happens here. It goes all the way back to in the Bible or in the Old Testament. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man onto his tent, and there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the Ark of God was taken. Oh, my Lord. I mean, brother, you talking about tragedy. The Ark of God was taken by the heathen. The Ark of God was taken, and it says the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. They killed the priests, and Eli was the high priest and their father, and the reason why that God told Samuel back over in chapter 3, he said, I'm going to kill them boys. I'm going to kill them. Why? Because they were in a position of spiritual authority. Those boys were in a position around the Ark of God. They were in the temple of God. They were in a position, and God says, I'm going to take them out because they will not honor me. And they brought shame upon me. And God says, I'm going to wipe them out. Here's these two boys. They were taking food. They were going over saying, give us your food. And if you don't give it to us, we'll take it by force. I mean, because all Israel was supposed to bring sacrifices, and all the food went to the Levites. And Israel, all the other 11 tribes were supposed to provide food for the Levites. But when it came to the meat, they said, well, we don't want our meat burned. I'll take it like it is. Give it to me. And they said, well, it ain't burned yet. And they said, well, give it to me now or I'll take it by force. So they forced it. And then all of a sudden, the Bible also says these two boys were sleeping with the women. They were taking bribes. They were doing all that. Here in the name of God. They were supposed to be the guys that, man, in the name of God, they were supposed to be righteous. They were supposed to be men of God. And they were supposed to do what's right. And here they were brought shame and reproach. And the Bible says, and God told Samuel to tell Eli, you haven't restrained them boys. You haven't told them and restrained them and said, that's it. You're not going to be in the office anymore. You're not going to do this no more. I'm putting you out. But Eli wouldn't do it. Why? Because Eli was benefiting from what they were doing. He benefited from them. And Eli never did anything about it. He might have said to them, y'all shouldn't be doing this. And then God tells Samuel, a young boy, that Hannah dedicated her son and said, God, if you'll give me a child, I'll give him back to you. And that's where we get the dedication of babies from. We don't sprinkle babies here. We don't, you know, baptize babies. We don't, you know, and we wait till that child comes into Sunday school or to the age of accountability to teach that child about Jesus Christ, and that child will make a decision whether he's going to trust or she's going to trust Jesus Christ as a Savior or not. And that's their decision. And you say, what is the age of accountability? God only knows. God only knows the heart of that child and the mind of that child. That's why it's important to train up a child in the way he should go and when he is old and not depart from it. So here are these two men, Hannah, she dedicates her son, and this little boy is running around. He's got the prophet in the clothes of the temple on, and God wakes him up and tells him that I'm going to bring judgment upon these boys. And guess what? 34,000 people lost their lives because those two boys. 34,000 people lost their lives because those two boys, God says, that's it. I'm going to do something about it. 34,000. Man, I can't even fathom that. I can't even imagine 34,000 people laying in a field of battle. Men, women, or men that had wives and children. 34,000. And because of these two boys, Hophni and Phinehas. And there ran a man of Benjamin, verse 12, out of the army and came to Shiloh. And it says the same day with his clothes rent and with the earth upon his head. And this guy, man, whenever they were going through something like that, they ripped their clothes and showing that there was agony. There's a broken heart. There's agony. And they would take dust and throw it on their face and show people, man, this is agony. This is tragedy. Now, folks, I don't know if you've had a bad day. We've had bad days around here. We've had bad days. We've had bad days in my life. You've had bad days in your life. And man, you've had some bad times happen. And we all could refer, if we went around the room, we started saying, what was your worst day? I mean, we could refer to some bad days in our life. I remember just the other day, I got a call Friday morning. Amy called me up. Amy Couch called me up and said, and she's crying. She said, preacher, my dad died today. We found him dead. He died in his sleep. The funeral's next Friday. And I said, oh, Amy, I'm so sorry. Man, she's crying. And I'm trying to encourage her. And then I said, Amy, I know where your daddy is. We're going to see him again. And went through a bunch of things, you know, and she said, and then she called me back to tell me when the funeral was. I mean, that's a bad day for that family. Whenever a loved one passes away, whenever you have a loved one gone, man, I tell you, that's a bad day. I'm telling you, folks, when you love your family, and then you hear about an accident. I'll never forget when I got a call about Earl and Jacob being in the accident. I was here at the church, and I went to the altar. Man, Mama called me up. She's screaming and called me up. And, man, I went to the altar, stayed on the altar, crying, begging God for his life, for Jacob's life. They had to cut him out of the car. I mean, but, folks, we've seen some bad days on a Sunday morning when I got a call from April or Joe and said that Chelsea was on the floor. She couldn't breathe. I'm telling you, I said, no, I'm that. And I couldn't, man, that was a bad day.
Yeah.
That was a bad day. And just the other day was the anniversary of Chelsea's death, the 28th. And man, and boy, I tell you what, we've all had bad days. We've had seen some bad things happen when Keith died out here in the parking lot, when George passed away. We all faced bad days.
Right.
Yeah. We all going to face it somewhere down the road. As long as we're in this life, as long as we're facing and living, we're going to find some things that are going to come in our life that's going to be a bad day.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's going to cause us to hurt. It's going to cause us suffering. Boy, I tell you what, I've had enough of it. I said, Lord God, don't let no more. When I was begging for Earl and for Jacob, I said, Lord, no more, please. No more. We've had some bad days. I've been pastor 30 years. And boy, I tell you what, through them 30 years, going on 31 years, there's been some bad times. It had been good times. But, you know, even in my bad times, I knew God was in control. I knew God was there. I knew God was going to take care of it. I knew it. I trusted him. You might be going through a bad time. You might be going through a bad thing, but I'll tell you what, the Bible still says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path.
Amen.
Boy, that's a verse you can hold on to. There's promises in the Word of God that you can hold on to and say, God, I know you're going to take care of it.
Amen.
No matter how it hurts, God knows how it hurts. He knows what you're going through. And people say, man, I mean, if God allowed me to go through this, why? Sometimes we don't have an answer sometimes. I don't have an answer. I mean, with this one, I have an answer. With what happened to Israel, I had an answer right there. It tells you. Can you imagine if God wrote a book of our lives and he gave you the answer that you were looking for? I mean, we get to heaven, he's going to answer it. But he doesn't give it to us now. I was talking about Paul this morning in Romans chapter 10. Paul said his heart's desire and prayer for Israel, they might be saved. But God told Paul that what he was going to have to go through, what he was going to have to suffer. I mean, he told him everything what he was going to have to go through. You know what Paul did? All right, Lord, I'm going to trust you. You never find anything recorded in the Bible where Paul said, that's it, God, I quit. Jeremiah said it. He said, man, I'll tell you why I quit. I got discouraged. I mean, we see Christians quitting. We see Christians backing up when troubles come. I'm going to tell you something. That what you're showing the world is what you got ain't going to help them. When you back up and you quit serving God. I know what I got. I know my God is able to help and take care of the problems of this world. And when we see all this stuff going on in the world right now, I know God's in control. I know I can trust him. I know my Father has the answer. And one day I might not know it now, but I know I can trust him. And you know that you can trust him. Israel going through a bad day. They didn't have no king. They had no real, the army was when they gather everybody together. And they had no king. The Bible says there was no king in that day, but Samuel was there. Samuel was the prophet. He was the man. And Samuel was the one that gave him the word of the Lord. And the Bible says in chapter 3, verse 19, that Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and did let none of his words fall to the ground. I mean, Samuel grew up and he said, I'm not going to let the words of God fall to the ground. Nothing's going to fall. Samuel was a faithful man. Samuel's sons even turned out not doing what's right. Samuel's boys. And that could be that generational thing. I mean, there are three generations, and the third generation can go away from God. And more, I pray, God, that it doesn't. I pray my grandkids, my great-grandkids, the Lord Terry's, that they would serve the Lord with all their heart. And look on down for chapter 4, of 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 13. And when he came to Eli sat upon a seat. This guy, man, rent his clothes. He runs into the camp. And when he came to Eli, he was sitting on a seat by the wayside, watching for his heart tremble for the ark of God. I mean, Eli knew that they took the ark out there. He knew what God had told Samuel. And he was warned, and he knew it. And Samuel, you know, it didn't say he was worried about his sons. He knew that was done. He knew that was a done deal. God said, I'm going to take care of them boys. They're out of here. They won't repent. They won't get right. They're out of here. And Eli, the Bible says, Eli trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came in the city, into the city and told it, all the city cried out. My, they couldn't believe it. This is the first time. I mean, the first time in years and years and years that nobody ever heard of the ark of God and God being taken captive, the ark of God being taken captive. And it says, when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, what meaneth the noise of this turmoil? And the man came in haste and said, and told Eli. And Eli was 98 years old. His eyes were dim that he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, I am come out of the army, out of the army. I fled today out of the army. And he said, what is there done, my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines. And there have been also a great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass when he had made mention of the ark of God that he fell from off the seat backwards by the side of the gate. And it says his neck broke, and he died. And he was an old man, and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. Man, I'm telling you what, folks, he heard that, and his heart sunk, and he said, oh, my God, the ark of God's taken. Here's the man that was in charge of taking care of the ark of God, the man that was in charge to take care of it. His two sons take that thing out with no regard, no discretion. I mean, they had this cockiness about them that God ain't going to do nothing to me. God's going to let me live the way I want to live. I can do whatever I want, and ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. That's the kind of attitude we have today in America. Now, I mean, God ain't going to tell me what to do. Ain't no preacher going to tell me what to do. Ain't nobody going to tell me from the Bible what the Bible says to do. So we got this arrogancy about us, about the way we live. I'm going to tell you something. God is a God of justice. Amen. He's also a God of mercy. But I'm going to tell you something. God just will put up with something so long, and then that's it. That's it. When the Lord says, I'll bring judgment, look out. He'll put up with something, and then that's it. I'm going to tell you something. Folks, if there's any message I can preach to you this morning, I'm going to get to the message here in a minute. Anything I can say this morning, I would say stay close to him. Amen. Stay in fellowship with him. I mean, walk with him. I mean, folks, this day and time, man, there's like a spirit that's going out in the world right now. There's a spirit of discouragement. There's a spirit of ungodliness. There's a spirit going out, and it just makes you want to just go climb some mountain somewhere and stay in a cave and stay there by yourself. But that's what happened to Lot. And Lot ended up messing up with his daughter and committing incest with his children and having children that were enemies of God. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I mean, God is going to wake people up, and he's trying to wake them up. He always sends warning shots over the bow. And here God already told Eli what was going to happen. And Eli, man, when he heard the words of the ark was taken, the Bible says he was a heavy man. That's where they got that thing, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's men and all so on, they couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. That's where it came from, right there. And folks, when God brought that judgment and those two boys was taken and killed, and 34,000 men lost their lives. And the Bible says, look at here, verse 19, Phinehas' wife, Hophni and Phinehas, his wife, you talking about a bad day. We just talking about Rebecca having a baby. Thank God the baby's healthy. Somebody else just that fell at the hospital had a baby. And man, what a blessing. Babies are healthy. Thank God we pray for that. Here's this woman getting ready to have a child. And the Bible says his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings of the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not. Neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel. Because the ark of God was taken, and because her father-in-law and her husband. And they said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. My Father, I pray, God, you bless the message now. Help us, Lord God, to preach your word. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It says she bowed herself and went in pain and brought forth this child, and she named him probably one of the worst names she could ever name him. I mean, I've heard about names. You know, you hear about Jezebel. I don't hear very many women naming their baby girls Jezebel or naming their son Judas. Judas Iscariot. But can you imagine being named, having a name, a stigma every time somebody's seen you? So you're Ichabod. And they remember the day when your name, when you were born, when the ark of God was taken. Ichabod, what a name. It says the glory is departed. I mean, folks, I'm telling you, I've seen this in America. I've been pastoring 30 years. I see the glory departing. I see the glory depart. I've seen people get on fire for God. I've seen the glory of God all over them. And then I've seen them backslide on the Lord and get out in the world and act like, well, I just got a letter from a lady. She said she just wrote me a letter, and I just read it. Ryan had it, and she got married here. And she said, right after I got married, my husband said he should have never married me. And she said he wanted to move his girlfriend in, and all kinds of stuff happened like that. And she wrote this letter to me just now. I read this letter, and I thought, my God, the glory is departed. And what happens is kids suffer, people suffer, all kinds of things happen in your life. They suffer from it. It says Ichabod. She named the child Ichabod. As she was dying, she said, Ichabod. I mean, the stigma of that child, the stigma of that name, the glory is departed. I mean, all Israel suffered because of this. I mean, they trusted in the ark rather than in the God of the ark. They trusted in symbols. They trusted in just idols and all kinds of things rather than God. So what was to be the message this morning? I'd say don't trust in yourself. Don't trust the church. Don't trust the religion. Don't trust nothing but God himself.
Amen.
Better to trust the Lord, put confidence in man. You better trust God. You better trust the Lord. I mean, folks, I've been praying for this. I pray for this church. I've been praying for this church the whole time I pastored. I pray God, don't let the glory depart. God, may your hand be upon it. I mean, the Bible says, it talks about glory, and there's glory. You know, Moses is down up there in the mount, and he said, God, I want to see your glory. I want to see your glory. And God said, if you can't see my glory, boy. He said, if you see my glory, my full glory, he said, you wouldn't be able to take it. I believe Moses would have melted right on the spot. I mean, he would have melted. And God said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put my hand over, put you behind a rock, and I'll put my hand over, and you can see the back parts of my side. And he said, you'll see my glory. And Moses got to see that. And I've been praying. I said, Lord, I want to see your glory. I want your glory on my life. I want your glory on the church. I want your glory on my brothers and sisters. I want your glory on these little children running around here. I want God's glory. I don't want Ichabod written all over them. I don't want Ichabod mentioned around them. I don't want them say God has departed from our place. God has left us. God has left our family. God has left our church. And there's churches all over this nation tonight. There's churches that should have known and should have served God and should have stayed with God.
Yeah.
Now the glory is departed. Ichabod. You could write Ichabod across the front door. Ichabod. Nobody's getting saved there. Nobody's talking about the Lord coming back there. Nobody's talking about how good it is to serve the Lord, how good it is for men to praise the Lord. They're not talking about that.
Yeah.
We get comfortable in our own lives. We get going. All we do is be concerned about ourselves. That's what them boys were. Hophni and Phinehas, all they were concerned about themselves. We are living in a generation today that's all they're concerned about is what is in it for me. How am I? Paul gave his life for others. Jesus Christ gave his life for others. And the old saying is joy is Jesus first, others second, and you last. And I'm going to tell you something. That's the only way you'll have real joy if you put the Lord first in your life and put others in your life and put them second in your life. And you last. What happens is people don't have no joy sitting in church this morning. They're all over this country. There's no joy. There's no peace. There's no comfort. There's no rejoicing. There's no praising God. Why? The glory is departed. What happened? Somebody dropped the ball. Somebody didn't get right. Somebody didn't do what they should have done. The Bible talks about children. Take your Bible, look in Proverbs chapter 7. Look what the Bible says about children. And I'll tell you what, children are a blessing. And man, thank God for these babies being born. And I'll tell you what, the Bible tells us to raise up a child in the way it should go, and when they're old, do not depart from it. Departing from it. You notice that Ichabod, the glory is departed. We don't want the glory to depart from our children or our grandchildren. We want God's glory on them. We want God to bless them. Everybody talks about their grandchildren. Everybody pulls pictures out, and they brag about them. And I've known people that say, I can't even stand to be around my grandkids. I only can stand them for about an hour, and that's it. That's terrible, man. That's terrible. Why? If somebody ain't raised their children right, they haven't done it right. Look in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6. Children's children are a crown of old men. Children's children, grandchildren are a crown of old men. It says the glory of children are their fathers. A father that lives right, doing what's right, that's the glory of a child. A child will always brag about my daddy. My daddy's tough. My daddy can do this. And my daddy's, he's not a coward. My daddy will stand up for right. My daddy will do what's right. I encourage young couples that get married. We see a lot of young couples around this church, and we have young couples coming back with children. I encourage them, stand for God. Raise the children right. Love your wife.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Don't let the glory depart out of your life. Man. I've been on some young men that come out of our church here. I've been on them about spending time with their wife and spending time with their kids. You ought to spend time. The good old boys down the road ain't going to help you out when you need help. You need to spend time with your family. Man, I tell you what, Josh, one time he was saying to his siblings that I didn't spend the time with him like I spent time with Samson and Ruth because I was pastoring a church and all. And he was saying that, you know, Dad didn't take me out and do the stuff that he did with Samson and all. I didn't have the time. But I went in my room. I didn't get mad. I didn't say that ungrateful, stinking brat. He was saying that. I called him in my room one night. And I said, son, and I cried. I said, son, I'm sorry. I let you down. I said, he goes, no, Dad, no, 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 no. And he's going, no, Dad, no. I said, no, I let you down. I didn't spend the time because I was pastoring the church. I was spending time with other people, trying to spend time seeing people saved, trying to do things as God and trying to serve the Lord. And I was trying to do all those things, plus working a job and working on the buses and doing all the stuff that I was trying to do. And I said, I'm sorry I didn't spend time. And he got up and he grabbed me. He said, no, Dad, no, no. I said, I'm sorry, son, I didn't spend the time with you. I mean, man, enjoy your family while you got them. I apologize to him. He's sitting right there. He can tell you. I asked him, forgive me. I said, man, I was so caught up in the ministry a lot of times. And I told Samson, don't get so caught up in the ministry. And I've told Mike that. I've told my Chris that. Don't get so caught up in the ministry that you don't spend time with your children. And I want to raise my children right. I wanted to raise my grandchildren. I get to spend time with my grandkids now. What a blessing it is. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11, it is his glory to pass over a transgression. And it says, and then Proverbs chapter 20, verse 29, it says, the glory of young men is their strength. And there's glory in their strength. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2, it says, the glory of God is to conceal a thing. And it says to search your own glory is not glory. You shouldn't be searching for your own glory. Ichabod, it means the glory is departed. Inglorious, or where is the honor? And man, I'll tell you what, where is the honor out in the world? Where is the honor? I mean, folks, the Lord gives you opportunity to serve him. God gives you opportunity to raise your children for him. God gives you opportunity to see your grandkids grow up. I mean, boy, I tell you, that's a glory. What a glory that is. When Phineas's wife, it doesn't even mention her name. It says she just said Ichabod. She was brokenhearted that the ark was taken and the glory of God was departed. She was brokenhearted over that. I tell you what, it ought to break your heart this morning if you don't have the glory of God in your life. It ought to break your heart if God is not present in your home. It ought to break your heart. You ought to say, God, I want your glory. I want your presence there. It says, the Bible talks about in Romans chapter 1, it says, and that change the glory of the uncorruptible God and on the images like on the corruptible man. Romans chapter 1 is when they, in Romans chapter 1 you read there, it talks about the homosexual, lesbians, all that stuff. It says they change the glory of God into corruptible man. And whenever a person gets unthankful for what God's done for him and not thanking God for his mercy and thanking God for how good he's been, I told you my daughter Ruth called me yesterday and said, Dad, today is your spiritual birthday. I was thanking the Lord. I mean, 43 years being saved. What a blessing that is. 43 years. I remember the day I got saved. I remember where I was. I remember what God brought me out of. I know the pit he brought me out of. Yeah. I never want to go back there.
Amen.
I never want to live the way I used to live. My brother calls me from prison every week, and I know I can see it in my mind. I'll tell you why I want the glory. I want the glory of God in my life. I want the glory of God in my home. I want the glory of God on my wife. I want the glory of God on my children. You ought to, and I want the glory of God on our church. I want the glory of God on our buses. I want the glory of God on our meetings. Boy, I tell you what, I want the glory of God. Moses got to see the backside, just a touch of it. You know, one day we'll get to see him in all his glory. One day we'll be able to say, man, God, whoo, what a great God you are. What a great God you've been able to serve you. I'm going to tell you something, folks, it's not a burden for me to serve God. It's a blessing. Some people act like it's a burden to come to church. They act like it's a burden to serve God, act like it's a burden to drive a bus, and act like a burden, man, to teach Sunday school. It ain't a burden.
Yeah.
It's a blessing.
Amen.
You get to share. You get to share in his glory. You get to share in it. Man, what a blessing it is to be able to share in the glory of God. You know, the Bible says that they that suffer with me shall reign with me. We're talking about what a bad day that was for the nation of Israel, for the house of Eli. What a bad day that was. Things came. But you know what? I was reading over in 1 Samuel. You read about Ichabod being born. His name is the glory is departed. And then you find his name shows up one other time in the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel 14, it says that his brother was a high priest, and it was Ichabod's brother. It mentions his brother by Ichabod. Ichabod got the glory back. So, folks, if the glory departs, guess what? You can get it back. Yeah. Even though his name was Ichabod, he was able to still share in the glory of God. What a blessing that is. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what you've done. Man, why don't you get back? Get back to the glory days. Amen. In your life. We talk about the glory days. You know, the football team talk about the glory days. People talk about this glory day. You can get back to those glory days. Amen. Why don't you get back to them? You're going to stay around Ichabod and feel sorry for yourself? Ichabod evidently didn't. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, he's around his brother. His brother's serving God. They're right. And God doesn't take the priest office away from him. Not until Jesus Christ shows up. The priest office stays. Ichabod got to be a part of it. Even though his mama said, the glory is departed. And God brought judgment. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We got Christians that's not living for God right now. I don't get mad. I don't get mad at them. I don't hate them. I don't do none of that. I just pray, God, get them back. Get them back. Get them back where they want to get back and share that glory. Once you've been in the service of God and you've shared in that glory, there's nothing like it, folks. Ain't nothing like being a part. That's why I want everybody to have a part in it. Ain't nothing like being around the glory of God. Ain't nothing like being around the presence of God. There ain't nothing like it, man. You see people backsliding and all that stuff. I say, oh, God, help them to get back. Help them to get back. Not so we can build a big church.
Yeah.
So they can have the blessings of God upon their life. I want their children blessed. I want their grandchildren blessed. I want their wife blessed. I want their husband blessed. I want them all blessed.
Amen.
I don't pray Ichabod on nobody. I don't say, God, make an Ichabod out of them. I want to see God bless them. Man, where you at this morning? You want God's glory? And I'm going to tell you something. You have it your way, you ain't going to have God's glory.
Right. Yeah.
You do your own thing the way you want to do it. Hophni and Phinehas thought that's what it was. I'll get away with it. Ain't nobody going to do nothing to me. I can live the way I want. Even though they had the highest position. And I'm going to tell you something else. Right now, this morning, you and I that are sitting here are saved. The Bible says we're priests on our God.
Yeah.
We're priests. You and I are priests on our God. What is the priest supposed to do? He's supposed to intercede for the people. Amen. He's supposed to be a testimony of stature. He's supposed to be a testimony of honesty and love and concern for people's lives and of, man, just having a care for the things of God. You and I are sitting here this morning. We're priests. Is God telling a Samuel, these folks won't get right? Hophni and Phinehas, and I'm going to do something about it. And I'm going to tell you something. When God does something about it, other people suffer. So I only hurt myself. I'm only living the way I want to live and only hurting me. No, it doesn't. 34,000 people died. There's some people, you said, wouldn't that be terrible? You get to heaven. You said, Lord, and Lord said, if you would have lived for me, look at the thousands you could have won. You would have had a part in thousands getting saved. Hundreds and maybe thousands. Folks, I don't know how many people I've affected in my life. But I've always wanted to infect them in a good way.
Amen.
I want them to have the glory of God. I want them to be a blessing. Whenever somebody, preacher calls me up, I try to encourage them. I try to pray for them. I try to, God bless their family, bless their descendants. Just like that guy coming out of the hospital. Would you pray for my baby? Yes. God have mercy. Where are you at this morning? Where are you at? I mean, you're in a position of authority. You're in a position of service. Where are you at? Are you just living for yourself? You just concerned about me? I've always said this. If you take care of God's business, he'll take care of yours. I've seen the Lord do it over and over again.
Amen.
Lord's business first. You take care of his business, he'll take care of yours.
Amen.
Or has the glory departed? You say, I can never get it back now. Oh, yes, you can. You can get it back. Oh, Ichabod was around his brother, ministering, being with his brother. What a thing. Where you at this morning? Where you want to be? Do you want God's glory? You want God's presence in your life? Or do you want to just live for yourself? I'm just going to have a good time. I'm just going to enjoy this just little journey I'm on. I'm just going to do it for myself and what I can get out of it. This life, this Christian life, is a life of sacrifice. It's a sacrifice for others and for him. I don't know how many times I've had to preach funerals of babies. And I said, Lord, I ain't doing it. I told the Lord, I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it, Lord. No, I ain't doing it. And then I sit there for a minute. It'll only be a minute. And I remember back. I told you, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to. I wanted to run. I wanted to run away. I'll do it, Lord, for your glory. You have to have the right attitude. Do you have the right attitude this morning? Bible says your body, you're supposed to present to the Lord as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You want the glory to depart? Is there any glory in your life? You can get it. You can experience it. Fella called me last night. I've had a part in his life over in New Jersey. He called me up. He said, Brother Allen, I'm sorry to call you so late. And I said, what's up? Everything all right? He goes, yeah. He said, I'm just putting the children to bed. We're having a Bible study. Could you pray with us? The kids wanted you to pray. I got you on speaker. So I prayed with him. I said goodnight to this baby. I don't know what the names are. I want the glory of God in my life.
Amen.
Do you? Father, we love you this morning. I thank you for your mercy.